Good morning. Welcome to Mom and Uncensored. We are redoing our Mom Anxiety podcast because last week, well, we tried to do it while we were on a walk.
Huffing and puffing.
It was very hard. And then somewhere along the way, the top part of my mic fell off. We didn't notice until the end. And then... Don't touch Mama's mic. No, well, that's exactly what's happening. It's Harper taking it.
Harper, is it you? Yeah, we went on a walk and then you lost the top of your mic.
Oh, yeah. The top of my mic. Obviously, Harper takes it off and throws it. We know that now. And Alex found it in the rocks
later that night.
And then at the end of the podcast, anyway, Harper grabbed my phone and started a video. So we couldn't hear anything because once you start a video, it takes it off of your phone. Our two, Harper and Hayes,
oh my goodness, child,
are torture today. Okay.
Ain't that okay? It's just a chicken. Bok, bok is fine.
Okay, onward and upward. Here we go. Mom anxiety. Now, I don't remember what we talked about last week at all, so this will be a whole new...
I don't remember anything, to be honest.
A whole new podcast, pretty much. Why are we so...
I don't remember what happened last night, so...
Must not have been that good, huh, Tommy?
Actually, no. I spent the whole night bouncing from room to room. Because nobody would go to sleep. No, last night was awful with these kids. I love them, but go the fuck to sleep.
Go the fuck to sleep. That book, Go the Fuck to Sleep.
It don't work.
Yeah, it had.
No, you don't.
I've heard. So that contributes to mom anxiety.
Yes, it does.
Kids not sleeping.
And I'm exhausted.
Yep. That's not fun.
Okay, but for real.
The real question that we had gotten probably like a month and a half ago now was, what kind of mom anxiety like do you guys have or did you have? And when is the appropriate time to like seek help? I got help 4 days in. Like I, with Harper, I guess like with a C-section, the hormones like flood you way faster because it's not like a natural process. So like the crash of it is crazy.
Don't get the balancing ones to like.
No. So like I had.
That's true or not. I'm just.
Yeah, I don't know. But like I had the birth and the, like my birth was fine. It is what it is.
It wasn't what you planned.
But right. But I wasn't mad. Like,
no, you weren't.
It was fine.
I remember when he told me because I was like, Chucky. I need an update here. Like, hello, it's been like a day and a half. Like, mm-hmm. Where is this child? Are they okay?
Right.
He's like, she's fine. We're going in for a section in like half an hour. I was like, what?
Yep.
You didn't think to update me?
Nobody updated me? Nope. I remember calling my mom at like 4 a.m.
Like,
yeah, I was like, what? Because I was so done with labor at that point.
Had. We've seen it 1,000 times. Yeah.
I've seen it. Had Harper watches this. I'm gonna see
this.
Oh,
it's this.
I can see through the wall. I have superpowers.
You cannot. Called out.
So I made peace with that. So I had. That's like a little traumatic, I guess. It was like whatever. So I had that, and then I had issues breastfeeding, and then we get home, and I had more issues breastfeeding. And then you have to go, I think, 3 days after a C-section or 5 days after to check your incision. And just make sure there's no bleeding, no infection, no, like, broken whatever. I mean, they glue you now, so, like, there's no stitches. Yeah, I'll show you my scar one day. It's
what?
Literally, like a hairline. There's nothing.
That's crazy. Yeah. I have no
clue. And I remember just, like, looking at the doctor being, like, and just, like, breaking down crying. And she was, like... Her questions were like, are you trying, like, do you want to harm yourself? Do you want to harm your baby? And I was like, no, like, I never thought any of that.
No.
And then it was like, do you not trust people with your kid? And I was like,
yeah, we're going to check
that
box.
I mean, define, like, Chucky, yes.
Yeah.
my parents, I mean, yeah, but like anyone else at that point, no. But like that wasn't, I mean, I had a five day old baby. Of course baby.
You
don't.
You're holding that baby until like you have to put her down. Yeah.
Right. So, but my problem was, is that I was obsessing over like her body parts. So like her strawberry wasn't in at this point. I was thinking about it the other day because her strawberry is shrinking. I texted you.
Yes, you did.
Or she's getting bigger, whatever. I would obsess like, oh, does she have an ear infection? Or, oh, what are the crusties in her eye? Or like, ooh, I don't know, if she had a rash. If, I mean, like there was just, I would just fixate on something and I would freak out about it. Or like cradle cap. But then it was, I went to an OB appointment. I don't know. I was by myself and she, no one like warns you what newborns have. Like girls have the white stuff in their vaginas. And I freaked out. I'm like, what happened to her? What is this? Blah, blah, blah. And I texted you and you're like, oh, it's normal. But like, no one tells you these things. Or like, I would fixate on like her umbilical cord took forever to fall off. But it was like, is it infected? Did it get cut right? Is it drying up right? Like there was just like so many. Was her poop normal? Was she peeing enough?
Making up
making up stuff. But like to be fair, like I had the breastfeeding problems and her pee was dark, so I was fixating on that. I kind of feel like that was the trigger though, like that issue alone, because they make you focus on so much. Is she dehydrated? Is she this? Is she that? So like it was just like I guess that was the trigger. But like,
I remember a lot of these things when you had her.
Yeah.
Not everything, but.
It was just a lot. Yeah. And I ended up going on Sertraline, which is like the generic brand of Zoloft. Because I was like, I just can't. I like my thoughts, like I couldn't get out of them and I couldn't mom. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I'm not a pusher of medication. Preferably, I would do weed if I could. But I was breastfeeding. I didn't know.
What it would do. Have we ever looked at that?
What weed would do with breastfeeding? Yeah. Some people will say it'll dry it up.
Okay. That would make sense to me if it dehydrates
I
at all,
know but. People, though, who have, and controversial, and I'm not going to say my opinion one way or the other, smoke through their pregnancies or take gummies or do whatever because they've read studies that enough of it doesn't pass through. No one knows, though. There's not enough info on it. Yeah. But I've known people who have smoked that, you know, the whole way through and then all the way through breastfeeding and they've been fine. But like breastfeeding journeys and pregnancies for everyone is so different.
When you're also having anxiety about being able to feed your baby enough, you're not gonna
make and like
contribute to that, make it worse, right. You know?
And Sertraline and all of this stuff has been around for, you know, however long, and the doctor promised me that it wouldn't do anything to my supply and none of it would pass through to the milk.
Well,
so like whatever.
Too, it's like you have to weigh your like the pros and the cons things. Like you need to be able to function and take care of the baby that you just had.
Right.
She depends on you.
Right. And I was only on it for 3 weeks. I kept forgetting to take it, so I unintentionally like weaned myself off of it.
Well,
and then it was it was fine. And honestly, I've said to Chucky that if we've made peace with that, I'm gonna go in for a C-section the next time because
is that again?
Yeah,
I know that we went back and forth.
I did
on this, like,
one day. I was like, oh, I really want to try a V-back, and then
the next day you're not.
No, because like, why bother? I had a good experience, whatever. But like, I honestly might go on Sertraline like from the get go so that I don't have to deal with it, and then just wean myself off because. How would I do that with two kids?
You might be okay, though. Since you've been through it one time, you know what's normal,
what
not.
What to expect.
You know?
Probably can, like, work myself through it better.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, every baby, every pregnancy is different.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's been, like, everlasting. I didn't have, like, you know, the postpartum blues that people talk about.
Sissy got put away because you're scared of her, remember?
She's sleeping.
She went night-night. Night-night.
Like, I didn't have, like, you know, I mean, I definitely had my worries and stuff postpartum, but to be honest, that postpartum time for me is very, like, a high. Does that make sense?
Well, you have a really good birth.
I have an amazing birth experience.
Like, you look forward to it.
like my postpartums or my pregnancies are really rough, and my postpartums are like a high. I push them out and I'm up and I'm good and I'm in a great mood and I'm happy.
Yeah.
Probably because one, it feels so good to get that damn kid out after 9 months of puking and just terrible and aching and whatever, you know. So I don't really get like that immediate, you know, 5 days post or whatever, like rush of sadness or anxiety. But mine kind of came on slowly, and I didn't really have it much with Hadley. Honestly, with her, I was quite naive about a lot of things. Maybe that was good because I had nobody else to really talk to who had experiences.
And we say too, we've talked about, like, I don't think that mom anxiety or like postpartum anxiety was talked about very much when you were
definitely coming, because socials have really changed. And when I had her, it was a big thing, but not like it is now. You know, she's five and a lot has changed in five years. Yeah. You know, there were the Facebook groups where you get on your due date group, which delete those. Those will do nothing but cause you more stress. And if you're having anxiety, they can really be a source of making it worse.
Yeah.
When everybody is like, well, I had this and this, well, it's just not good.
No.
I erased all of those. I never went on those again.
Yeah.
For me, it really started with Hayden. I was supposed to go back to work on like January 18th, and like 2 weeks before, I still wasn't sure who was going to watch them.
Right.
Because my previous sitters had fallen through or whatever. I had begged a friend. I was like, will you please? And instead, like, I just, and she couldn't, whatever. She had, you know, real job now, so she couldn't hang out with my kids.
Oh, I know who it was, yeah.
Good for her, but boo. And obviously I knew I wasn't going to find like childcare within a week and a half. Like,
right.
No duh, but I'm not even sure what was going on in my mind there, but I had like a complete meltdown. I closed my laptop and was like, nobody is taking them. I'm not. And I feel like my husband kind of knew, like, that's where this was going. Like,
yeah. Like, you already kind of had it, like, tucked in the back of your head. But, like, you
and
didn't actually know.
Childcare was making it actually so hard. No, I know that some people have great nannies and whatever. We had a hard time keeping them because, you know, without our house, also, people had a hard time with Hadley because of her breath holding spells. They were worried, you know. It was just hard, and I wasn't open.
What would Hadley? She would hold her breath and pass out,
right? She would cry so hard when I laughed that she would hold her breath and pass out, yes.
That's insane.
Which, the passing out never happened on a sitter's watch, but knowing it would happen made my final one quit.
Right.
Which kind of set me off for, like, I can't keep doing this. Like,
right.
You know, and they quit because, oh, well, they got pregnant and had another baby.
Yeah.
And watching all four would have been, you know, way too much or whatever, which I get it. I was lucky to have Hadley's first whole year in my own house with my cameras, you know.
Yeah.
And I was not open to a daycare in any way, shape, or form. So I was having a hard time. And for some reason, I was like, I'm just not leaving them. I'm not.
Right.
Like, it started then. And Hayden did have some concerns as a baby. Nothing crazy like now, but he would, like, what they call, like, I think Hayden was, like, not silent, but, like, a reflux of some sort where, as a protective mechanism, they would stop breathing. And this was so they wouldn't, you know, get food in or get puke or whatever into their airways.
Right.
Which, it makes sense when you think about it, but from my view, he was gray.
Right.
It was scary.
That is horrifying.
Like, And nobody would do anything because he was a healthy weight and happy. Nobody cares if your baby is healthy. Like,
it's all weightless. About the weight.
It's so annoying.
Like when we talked about my breastfeeding thing, it was entirely about her weight, not about her.
Hayes is almost 2 and is the size of a 12.
He's smaller than Harper.
But that kid nursed. He still does, but he nursed nonstop. He got plenty of milk. It's just him. But then Hayden, at age of 6 months, was the weight of Hayes now.
Which is crazy.
So they didn't even, you know, he's healthy and chunky and happy. He's
kids
fine.
Are different.
But then it was like, well, I think that he has an issue with milk. And they were like, no, it's not. I'm like, his poop is green. Like, things are weird. Something is for sure off. Nobody, again, believed me because he was such a happy baby.
No, I'm going to take
that. He can still be happy and have an issue here.
Right.
Which turns out he is severely allergic to milk, but we didn't find out that for sure until he physically ate it and had a very bad reaction.
Yeah.
But I feel like the lack of trust in, one, my doctors and stuff,
right,
also sent me into a bit of a spiral.
Right.
Because then his breathing issues came on. There was one time where Tommy, I had just had Hayes, and he was like, what, a week old, yeah. I think, when Hayden got croup. When he gets croup, it goes from fine to ER in minutes.
I remember that time, too.
Like, yeah. It's so bad. That night, I sent Tommy with him to the ER, and that alone kills me that I couldn't go.
Right.
And hear what was being said, because, you know, that's part of my own anxiety is having all of the info straight from, you know, who it's coming from.
And sometimes it helps, like, to go with both parents because then you hear what the other one might not
on
have.
The baby who is having a hard time breathing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it was calmed down. He came home at, like, 2 a.m., I think. I went down to meet him. Hayden was completely fine, and all of these sudden he is gasping for air again.
Yeah.
Drooling. He looks pale. He's struggling really badly. I sent them right back out and they did it again there. You know, just a repeat of the first time.
Right.
Luckily after that time it calmed down. But there were times where it required epi, like way past breathing treatments. It required epinephrine, which worked, but then you're monitored for half of the day after, fine. But his breathing is really a struggle for me to calm down with.
Yeah.
After that, I found myself watching him breathe many nights, checking on him. They're so cute.
They're so cute.
Checking on him with no real concern. You know, like, he was completely fine, but I would wake up in a dead sleep and go into his room and count his breaths. There was actually a time where he was getting sick, but at this point we had gotten a nebulizer for home to prevent the need to go, you know, and expose ourselves at the ER or urgent care and stuff. And we could treat it at home the second that we heard that cough starting.
Right.
Which has been, like, really awesome for me. To be able to say, just go and grab the puppy, you know? But there was a point where I brought him to his doctor. And it was a different nurse there. Or maybe this was the urgent care. I cannot tell. I don't remember. Either way, it was a new nurse I had never seen before. I had told her how many breaths he took in a minute, how many times I saw his chest rise. I could tell her every one of his stats, and she was like, "Wow, are you a nurse?" I was like, "No, I just have severe anxiety this kid's breathing." She goes, "Well, that was actually, like, super helpful." But
I bet, yeah.
I'm like, she's okay, probably, but that's, like, just feeding my
like, you just, like, confirmed what I should be doing, but like not, you know,
I
what I mean?
Shouldn't.
No.
I was like, I thought that his chest had risen, like, twice as much as it should have, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, wow. It's like, but that's not normal.
No.
I don't think that that is normal. And I do still have a lot of worry over him that I don't have on the other two kids. But again, they don't have asthma.
Yeah.
They don't have issues. And they don't get sick from just a visit to the doctors. Like, when Hadley or Hayes get sick, you know, they get their fever and they move on.
Yeah.
It's fine. Hayden goes from I'm fine to ER in, like, no time. And it's scary.
Yeah.
And those things do set me off. But and because of, like, him, I feel like I do have anxiety over everything just naturally now.
Right.
And I always had a bit of it, you know, parking lots.
Oh, yeah, parking lots.
If I don't know what the parking is like, I'm not going. You know, I don't like phones, but this is where it kind of got, you know.
Like bad. Now that you say that, I was just thinking, with Hayden, you obviously had a reason for the anxiety that you have. I was just thinking about it, and I kind of forgot this because it became a non-issue, but at my anatomy scan, remember Harper had fluid in her kidney, and it was like too much, like they were worried. And then I went back and it had grown, and they, like, I had the ultrasound tech. I don't know how I knew this, but in the anatomy scan that day, I was like, what is that? What's in that? And she was like, well, this is her kidney. And I was like, what's in it? Because I could see that there was something in it that she was measuring and she wouldn't tell me. And then,
well, they're not supposed to, right?
Well, but, like, you could have said, like, I'm measuring something that the doctor will go over with you. She was like, don't worry about it. Then when we left the room, she goes, good luck. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, me and Chucky were both pissed. But, like, she probably didn't mean anything by it. But that alone.
Also knew that is kind of common and not a concern as long as things change, you know.
Now I know. It's very common with girls. And if she had it when she was born, we would see a urologist and we would work on figuring it out. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But you don't know that. Then my thought process with that is that the anxiety started at a certain point. Same thing with Hayden. The anxiety started at a certain point. It might not have been addressed at the root, and then it kind of spirals.
It spiraled.
I still have it now, and it's like with people changing her diapers. Like, there was this one person in our life who was just obsessed with changing Harper's diaper, and I never let them. And that person,
but
probably,
why is that such a need to, like, do?
And I think, like, some people may think, like, oh, I'm helping, like, I'm changing their diaper, no one wants to do that, I'm helping. But, like,
you don't say
no.
I can't.
Like, at one point we had changed her, and then this person was like, oh, Harper's wet, I'm gonna go change her. And I was like, we just changed her diaper, she's not wet. So, like, the thing, like,
there's a lot more to that story than
just this
we're saying right now.
I don't want to give the person away, because, like I said, I don't think anything's happening, but it's weird. It's just weird.
The whole thing is weird.
It's weird.
Sorry, but somebody is very fixated on looking at your child's privates, and that's an issue.
That's an issue. You shouldn't want to, no matter what.
Parents are like, hey, you know, Hayes feels a bit wet. Would you like me to change him?
My mom.
I think that he pooped. Like, I can go, like, oh my God, please. I do not want to change
another poopy diaper.
Like, I'm done.
My mom and my dad, they'll both be like, oh, soggy yoggy.
Yeah.
It's fluffy, you know, and then they'll let me do it unless I explicitly ask. But yeah, I don't know. But I had said to Chucky at one point, because he didn't understand kind of where I was coming from. And I think there is a different stigma with girls. Like, you're more anxious with girls.
1,000%.
But because I was focusing so hard on her body parts and, like, rashes and whatever. And at this point, she was getting her strawberry hemangioma. I had said to him, like, I'm not being a bitch. I'm not being an asshole. I don't want someone other than me or you changing her diaper. I don't give a shit. Period. I don't care if this person gets offended.
Like, this
I don't care.
It makes me uncomfortable, and I need you to be on my side.
Like,
whether
help me
understand it or not. Yes.
That didn't help. And that, you know, not everyone's going to understand your anxiety, but, like,
you need
your spouse needs to.
Partner.
Yes. Yeah.
Luckily, you know, Tommy did. He also was, you know, worried about things, but he didn't see it like I did, where it got to the point where I, you know, but I recognize that sometimes I'm seeing things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I agree. I would tell him, I need you to go peek at him.
Yeah.
But before me, and just tell me what you see.
Like, if you thought maybe he was retracting or something, you wanted someone to
watch. Retractions get me so badly because he starts to pull on his ribs. Once it makes it up to his neck, we're too late.
Okay.
He is like fully sucking with every muscle. And yes, it is so scary. And it gets there very fast.
Yeah.
So catching it in the ribs is where I'm constantly like, oh, I'm like, just breathe, dude, just breathe. But if I do it when he's asleep, he's not being, you know, a goofball and going, okay, and sucking it, you know.
Right.
Because that's what he does at his age, is be a goofball.
Right.
But he is able to be rational and be like, Alex, I don't see anything here. He looks fine to me.
Yeah.
He sounds fine. What's odd is he is the first one to catch if he's wheezing.
And will he tell you?
Yes. He's like, we need the puppy out now. Like,
Hayden or Tommy? Hayden.
Hayden is the first one to catch. Or Tommy is the first one to catch it on Hayden before me if he's wheezing. But I am the one who's waking up in the middle of the night to peek at him. Like, that's not okay.
Right.
But I have never seeked help for that or anything. And
I mean, we're not at a point where like the anxiety is debilitating. Like I was, and I did get the help.
It definitely takes over a lot of me.
Yours is warranted though. It's not some random.
But it does become an obsession though.
Yeah. I think with these seasons, being able to recognize it and talking to Tommy about it.
No, it's true.
You know, it's like, not.
And I don't have the same things with the other two.
Right.
With Hayes, I do still have like, not an obsession things, but like, he never took a bottle. He never took a passy. I never had a single moment away from Hayes for his entire first year of life.
Right.
Because he wouldn't take a bottle. And he was, you know, small and eating every 2 hours until like one.
Yeah.
He did not eat food at all until like 16 months, I think. He just had no interest at all.
Yeah. Our kid didn't either, really.
It's just different. Every kid is different, but
it's all good.
Not that caused the anxiety for me, but the fact that I couldn't work without him. He came to work with me.
Right.
I couldn't run to the store and be more than an hour. Like,
right.
These things definitely all like feed into your own stresses and become one big ball of just anxiety. Yeah.
I remember we went shopping when Hayden was little, like, and we could drop the kids off at your mom's and we could go. Like, we never once did that with
Hayes. I couldn't.
We couldn't do it.
I remember one time. Oh, no, it was your baby shower for Harper.
And you had to leave.
No.
No, it was my wedding shower.
No, it was your baby shower.
Baby shower. Oh, and Hayden. You had two. Both of my showers, you had things at. Yeah.
Yes. So Hayden did eventually take that bottle.
Okay.
Reluctantly. Hayes, at your shower, I went with just Hadley.
Yep.
My mom tried for an hour and a half before he was just screaming his head off. And eventually came to it. Luckily, it wasn't far from her house.
Yeah.
But she was like, oh my God, feed your child,
and you
please.
Just fed him there. Yeah.
I fed him quick and I gave him back and we moved on and it was fine. But
that definitely contributed to, I don't know, things and how I felt like I couldn't leave and was kind of not trapped. I don't want to say trapped.
Right.
But stuck on a time.
Right.
Stuck on a time frame.
Yeah.
Stuck on, you know, and he was eating a lot, so it was constant, but that kind of
and we like
it for me.
We didn't do a lot when they were little, which is a mistake.
Definitely make time to
be
a person, not just like
a mom.
Yes. Not saying that I don't absolutely love
No.
Love being a mom and love
you know, being home with my kids. But yeah, there are nights I'm like, I just want to be a person for an hour and not catering to every, you know, just, I don't know.
It's, yeah. And moral of the story is if you feel completely consumed by the anxiety and cannot get out of it, seek help.
Whether that be a therapist or any sort of anything, even a friend, like,
right, talk it out.
Confide into a friend.
And it, I promise you, your deepest, darkest, weirdest thoughts are not that weird.
Like, yes.
They're not.
They can be intrusive, yep, which we
they
also
can be
have.
Dark, very,
mine
very
bad
dark
as well. I actually completely forgot about that for a moment, but I do have intrusive thoughts that do consume me during car rides specifically.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, I have similar
I'm
ones
not
with cars.
I'm not going to say it so I don't, you know, put those thoughts into someone else's head, but they consume me once I get in the car and start driving.
Yeah.
My kids are only allowed to drive with me and my husband, sometimes with my mom.
Yep.
But even then, I'm like, let me know when you made it there, please.
We have our husband's locations on our phones so that, like, we know that they're safe, too.
I don't. I
you don't?
No.
I thought you did.
No.
Because Chucky's on job sites all the time, so, like, I freak out when he doesn't answer me, but sometimes he doesn't have service, so I just check to see where he is. And, like, that's helped me a lot, actually.
You should do that. Probably help me not, like, panic about life.
And him, too, having yours, like, with your panic is that he'll know where you are. So that's
true.
You know,
well, if I'm in a real, really bad place or something.
Right.
No, but it's true. And definitely, like, I do think maybe I could use talking to someone.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm not saying, honestly, for me, I put it off.
Yeah.
I don't worry about me. I worry about my kids and my husband and whatever else that we need, and I put me back, and that is an issue alone, so.
Yeah, so don't do what we do. Well, actually do what I did. Talk to the therapist and take the medication if you need to, and you know, you do you. But everyone's different, and we all handle things differently, and it's...
Yeah, like, this is not a one size...
It's hard to navigate.
Fits all at all, and...
We could talk about this for 5 hours.
I know, like...
We really could.
I know.
Maybe we'll do another one on it.
Maybe.
But our kids are done, so we will talk to you guys next week. Follow us over on Instagram, at Mom and Uncensored, and, yeah, talk to a therapist.
Bye!